Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Brother Dan and Miss Carmen, for singing for us this morning. And what a joy to get to think about the goodness of the Lord. And as Brother Daniel mentioned, so many things going on, and he needed to, because I wanted to keep everybody abreast of what was going on. But I really want you to be taking that faith promise card. If you didn't get a bulletin, everybody in here, if you didn't get a bulletin on your way in, I want you to get one at the Welcome Center on your way out, because you need to have that to say, Lord, what would you have us do? Me, our family, for the next year. And this Faith Promise Missions card will allow us to know where our missions budget is going. We've set that budget. Of course, it was before the missions conference, and the missions conference, you remember, was postponed from April till now. That's why it's a little backwards in that regard. But I believe, and I just want everybody in our church to know, that the order in which we do things, and you know this evening I'm going to share some things with you about the auditorium here and some ways that we'll, in the next few weeks, we'll have some ways that you can get involved in that. But I believe that everybody ought to give. I believe the biblical mandate is to tithe. I'm a believer, the scripture says, about tithing. And then I believe after that that all of us ought to be involved in worldwide missions, because we've got a command, a mandate to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I'm not going to Egypt, but we have missionaries that are. I'm not going to Baghdad, but we have some missionaries that are. I go down the list. And so we have a mandate, I believe, to give to support our missionaries that are going around the world. And then thirdly, after that, then I would encourage everybody to get involved to help with the things that go on as far as the building program around at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. But I want to be clear that that's the order that I think we ought to be in, because some people we can give toward, we can give to the church, because out of our the grace that God's given us, we can give some grace giving there. And then we can support our missionaries, and that's all that a family can do. And but if there's extra and you want to give toward the building program, then I certainly would encourage you to do that as well. But I'm excited about next week and, Wednesday, starting this week, but all the things we have in store for the missions conference, and we want you to be a part of all of that. And then also today, as the calendar rolls off, this is November the 1st, but we are, of course, praying for our election on Tuesday. And if you've not yet voted, I want to encourage you, that's my last crack at you, so to speak, to vote. And I believe it's our civic duty as Americans, if you're a citizen of this great nation, to vote. And you say, I don't like either one of the people that are running, and so I'm just not going to. I encourage you not to do that, because you ought to take the candidates. I believe you ought to take the candidates, and I believe you ought to take one of the ones that's going to win. You know, sometimes you say, well, I'm just going to put my vote towards somebody who you know they won't win, and I don't think that's the best method, because I want mine to count. And you take those candidates, and you line them up against the Word of God. You say, okay, who's closest? He said, well, no, neither one of them's close. Well, get the one that's closest, and they're their policies that they embrace, and vote for that one. And so that's my little public service announcement then. And one last thing, it is our first day back into Sunday school. Sunday school will start at 10 o'clock. And that'll go in this auditorium. That service, or that class, will go a little bit shorter because we'll have the 11 o'clock service. But maybe some of you don't feel comfortable being in Sunday school, and that's perfectly fine. Please don't feel guilty, feel like that. You say, well, I just don't want to get into a smaller room where around folks, and I completely understand. And but I just want you to know that'll start at 10 a.m., and then we'll have that sandwiched in between the two services. So I want you to know what's going on, and I know that we've got many folks that are concerned about one thing or the other, and we're just trying to make our best call that we can before the Lord. And please, again, don't feel bad. Don't feel, well, I don't know if I can go back to my class. We've got several folks, as we tried to branch out this week and get a hold of folks and call and visit, they said, we can't come yet. And my answer always was, that's fine. And please don't worry. And to those of you, some ask about coming in. Many folks, as I do, wear masks as I'm out around people individually. And then some wear through the service. We encourage everybody to wear them. And we don't require at the door that you do. But I just want to be very clear. This is just our church family. And so I just want to be very, very open and honest with you. And so that's where we lie or fall on those issues. So with those things out of the way, thank you for being in church this morning. Now get back to our regularly scheduled program, if I could, I guess, and get back to normal. I want you to look at Nehemiah, if you would, chapter number 8 in the Old Testament. Nehemiah, chapter number 8. While you're finding your place there in Nehemiah, chapter 8, I did hear the story about this fellow, this farmer. He robbed a bank and got sent to prison. And boy, his wife was just getting more and more mad because she was having to do all the work there that he should be doing at the farm. And he got a letter one time from her. She said, "Oh, this is just great," in this letter. "You're in jail there, living off the state, smoking cigarettes, eating their food, and laying around. And here I am alone. Now who's going to plow the field, and who's going to get that field done so I can plant all the potatoes?" He wrote back, "Please don't plow the field. That's where I buried all the money from the bank robbery." She wrote back to him, said, "Somebody must be reading your mail, because the police or the sheriff's office, a whole big army of them came out and they plowed and turned over every bit of our field. And now I want to know what you want me to do." And he wrote back, "Now plant the potatoes." So no money, just plant the potatoes. Nehemiah chapter 8, we'll set up the scenario here. Nehemiah, he comes back to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. Most of us know the story so well. But if you don't, Jerusalem was destroyed by invaders, and the leading citizens were carried away as captives to Babylon. They resettled there, some 900 miles, as the map would say, and they were captives and taken away. But God allowed waves of Israelites to go back into Jerusalem, and Zerubbabel led one returning about 525 B.C. He rebuilt the temple, a group that went with him. Ezra led a group some 60 years later, I believe it was, and he was a priest and wanted to reestablish the law there. And so if you can imagine, they were taken away from the city of God and they were deported, taken away to Babylon. And then as powers came and powers went, arose and fell there in Babylon, then some of them were allowed to go back and rebuild that homeland. And now Nehemiah, he returns 10 or 15 years after Ezra did. And his desire is to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. He does that by God's help and getting folks to come alongside of him in 52 days. But as the wall is completed under Nehemiah's charge, we're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 8, and we're going to find that after that's done, then now the people gather together and they're all crying for one thing. So you understand, they were taken away, now they're back. Some of them, many of them didn't ever come back, but they're back. And these are the people of God. And now if you find your place in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 1, we're going to find what the people of God wanted after they had finished this task. We see in verse number 1, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear, with the understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law." It's an amazing thing in verse number one, that they were, number one, I see they were desirous. All the people gathered themselves together. And then I see not only were they desirous, they were unified. The Bible says, as one man. So they all had this same desire. Bring the Bible to us. And I want you to think about how they responded to God's word when they did. You understand, folks, we're such a blessed group of people. And you say, "Well, I've had a rough time." We look at the things as far as the world goes and say, "Well, I don't have it as easy as so-and-so or so-and-so," and whatever. We look at such a superficial things. But today I'm looking at the As Brother Dan sang about Miss Carmen, the God's been good to us, roof over our head, shoes on our feet, and all these things. When we start realizing how good God's been to us, we wouldn't have time to tell all the things that He has done for us. But what I specifically want to reference today is you have the Word of God. The very Word of God. And everybody in my household has multiple copies. Some of the kids have some Bibles that maybe a grandparent gave them at their certain birthday, and maybe they got one when two of mine graduated high school. Maybe they got a book or Bible when they graduated high school. And so I would hate to think how many Bibles I would have. We went to all of our house and count up all the ones, and I suspect that your house is the same way. And I say that not to shame us. I say that to make us sit back and say, God, you've blessed us. We've got multiple copies of your word, the book that tells of salvation, the book that warns of hell, but promises heaven, the book that tells us how to escape our sins and be saved, the book that tells us how to live our lives, and the book that tells us how to raise our families, and the book that tells us a little bit about how we can know who you are and how to get you to know you more. My friend, I'm saying this, that these people, they were unified together. They were as one man, but they were also desirous for Ezra the scribe to give them the Word of God. And now we don't have to go to a group, a gathering, to say, I'm going to go there so I can hear the Word of God. We can open up our Bible and we can have our own little time with the Lord, and we can read the pages and we can read the blessed promises. Somebody told me this week that when they have difficulties and issues, and they said, I always would go and remember that God said that if we need wisdom, we can ask of Him who giveth to all men liberally. You understand that we have the blessed promises of the Word of God. And these Israelites, as they make their way back from Babylon over back to Jerusalem and make the great long trek and journey, and they get the project that God has for them, they have one desire after that project is done. And when that project is done, they're saying to the scribe, get us the Bible. I want you to see the response of not only the desire they had, but then the response to after they got the Bible. And I trust that the Lord would bless and speak to your heart and challenge you as He's challenged me about what I think about this book. You know, it's easy to talk about something and not get into it. It's easy to talk and promise or make great comments about something and not let it get into you. I see, let's look at verse number 3. The Bible says again, as we already read, he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until the midday. He says from the morning until midday, and I'm afraid if I ever did that to a group of people, they'd say, Pastor, we've got to get out of here. We've got to go to work, or we've got to go do this. And please don't worry. You're going to get out normal time, so it's okay. But these people, as I see here this morning, they were not only desirous of the Word of God, but then they were attentive. I see that there's a people that listened. They were attentive unto the book, if you see at the end of verse number 3. And all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Can you picture these Israelites as they stand there before the gate, and they stand there and they're asking to Ezra, read more, read more, read more. They are attentive unto it reminds me of what the Word of God says about itself, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You understand, there was no Sunday school promotion. Everybody didn't get and I'm not against these, so please don't misunderstand. I was the bus director for many years, and so we've used about everything. If it was good and decent and right, we've had all kinds of promotions. But there was no promotions here. Everybody that came didn't get a candy bar. Everybody that came didn't get a nachos and cheese. The person that brought the most visitors didn't get a new Bible. Everybody, there wasn't any promotion. It was just the Word of God, and they gathered around it. And as they said, that they were desirous of the book, and not only were they desirous, but they were attentive. All ears were open unto the Word of God. I studied out a people in Indonesia, the Kimyal people, and I watched a video about some of it was a recent one, and just in the last decade, that they had delivered a New Testament to a tribe that had, up till then, had portions of the New Testament in their own language. And I watched as one of the tribal leaders, again, a video footage of this, as one of the tribal leaders, through an interpreter or two, had said, that when church people would come and they would tell us about a portion of the New Testament, this was specifically what he was talking about, but he said when this tribal leader said, when church people would come and they would tell us about a portion of the Bible that we had, our hearts would be excited because we could read what they were talking about. But this tribal leader said, we came to places when the church groups would come in and they, with the spoken word, would tell us about a portion of the Bible that we didn't have. And we had to take their word for it. And he said our hearts would get heavy because we couldn't read what they were talking about. And then the presentation went on because through one of the Bible societies, they were finally able to translate the entire New Testament into their native tongue. And you should have seen the celebration on the crude airstrip as the airplane brought in these bound up packages that were had inside of them copies of the New Testament in their own native tongue. Grown men weeping because they could hold the Bible in their hand. The whole village out in celebration and jumping around and with exclamations and so excited because they had the Word of God. And my friend, I can't take you back to a time when you didn't have the Word of God, because if you were like me, you probably got one when your mom brought you home from the hospital. Somebody gave you a little blue Bible or a pink Bible if you're a girl and gave you one, as I often do when babies are born. And so there wasn't a time when I didn't know that the Word of God was laying right there. But here, as the people got the Word of God, they listened to it. They were attentive unto the law. And I'm trying to get us all to see we've gotten spoiled. Because this is not the only Bible I have. If I brought five more up and stacked them on the pulpit, I'd still say, these aren't the only five that I have. And I think how convicted I get because of a people so blessed with the Word of God. How could God not require so much of us if we've got so much of His Word? But I see the people listen. But not only that, if we look on down through our text, we see in verse number 3 that they were attentive unto the law. And then in verses number 4 and 5 and 6, Ezra, he was up on a pulpit of wood and he was reading the Bible, and the people were listening to them, and they read in the book of the law, verse number 8, of God distinctly, and they gave the sense and caused them to understand. And there's so much preaching here, but I won't get to that. But I want you to look at verse number 9. Not only did the people listen, but I seemed led of the Lord to give you this next point in verse number 9. The people were convicted. And Nehemiah, which is a Tirshathite, and Ezra, the priest and the scribe and the Levite that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. I believe they were convicted and they were just overcome by the goodness of God's word. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. I believe that not only did they listen in verse number 3, but as you find yourself down, then they read in verse number 4 and 5 and 6, and then we get to verse number 9, they're weeping, just convicted of what the Word of God says. And I'm asking all of us this morning, how long has it been since the tears have stained the pages of our Bible? How long has it been since we got to a place where there was something in there that we read, and hey, I'm not doing that, so I need to get started doing that. How long has it been since the Word of God has changed my life? Folks, I need to get you in it. I need to get me in it. God needs to get us in it so that the Word of God can get in us. A preacher from California was preaching in Alabama. He was preaching right around the university there, and when he got to the place, there was a hall of sorts that his meeting was going to be at. When he got there, he had heard word from some of the organizers of the events that there was a fellow named Red that wanted to meet him. And this pastor said, okay, we'll be glad to. And he, when he first saw red, he knew exactly why he was called that. He had long red hairs and a ponytail. And he gave the description of red that it looked like he'd had a hard life. And his features of his face and his demeanor was or not his demeanor, but the features of his face showed that life had been a little rough for him. Red told him the story of how I was ready to end everything and take my own life. He said there was a certain curve that I traveled on a regular basis, and he says very sharp, but I was planning to take it at 85 miles an hour. For some reason, that was the figure that he had. And he said, I was ready. I knew there was a tree over the other side. I was planning with all my intentions were to try to take that curve, but knowing that I wouldn't make it, and to just end all of my troubles. He said, I decided that I was going to turn the radio on and blast something so that when I would just kind of block out everything that I was thinking. So he had a desire to blast his radio with some sort of rock and roll music. He said, I thought that'd be my anthem. That would be my soundtrack. He said, but as I was flipping through the stations, then a radio program, Turning Point, came on. And he's telling the preacher that was preaching on that radio broadcast, he said, your voice came on. And he said, no. He said, God is my witness. He said, some of you out there listening may even be contemplating taking your own life. And he said, my jaw dropped. And you went on to say in that radio program, don't do it. God loves you. And he said, you, of course, didn't know this, but from your broadcast that had maybe been recorded months before in California to me and a fellow in Alabama, had every intention of before that night fell, I'd be out into eternity. He said, by this time I'm weeping and sitting there in my car and I can't get away from the broadcast. And you went on to tell how a person could be saved. And he said, sitting in my car, I cried out to the Lord, asking Christ to be my Savior. Folks, the Word of God is sharp and powerful. It's quicker than any two-edged sword. And I know that sometimes I've done the same. I've flipped past radio stations, and I did that this morning. I was out driving around doing, taking care of some things before I came to the church, and there was a preacher on there. And knowing I was coming to church, I didn't think much about it. I listened to him for a few moments and then went on to the next one and then eventually got here to the church and came into the office. But you listen to radio preachers sometimes. You just click along and you just pass them on your seek or your scan button and go on to the next. But my friend, if he's a Bible preacher, those words won't return void. And as this pastor in this illustration realized, red was the recipient of the preached Word of God. And red was born again. I see the group of people were not only listening to the Word of God, but after they listened to the Word of God, then the Word of God got in them and they were convicted. Let's work our way down through the rest of the passage. And he tells them in verse number 10 to go your way and eat the fat, drink the sweet, and moving on. And then they move on, verse number 11. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And goes on now to verse number 13. I want to give you one little illustration here. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even understand the words of the law. So they'd been convicted yesterday, and they'd been attentive the day before, but now they're wanting to understand exactly what they're learning, exactly what they're hearing. And then verse number 13, even understand the words of the law. Verse number 14, they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths, in the feast of the seventh month. That was something in the earlier in their history that they were supposed to be doing. But now, as they made their way back to Babylon, they were not doing it. And as the Levites and the priests are reading these things, the Israelites are saying, wait, stop right there. What was that about the booths? I don't think we're doing that. Can I bring it now to today? That'd be like you reading the Bible or me reading the Bible, or maybe you hearing a Bible message on the radio or here in the church or somewhere else, and somebody preaches or teaches or declares something, or you're discussing it with a brother or sister in Christ, or you're simply reading the Word of God as you, and you look and say, whoa, I don't think I'm doing that. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then God gets all over you because you've been holding a grudge against some brother across the country. Bear you one another's burdens, Galatians chapter 6. What? I don't think I'm doing that. When was the last time that not only you became convicted, but then you became obedient? It's one thing for you to sit in a service or you to read in your Bible tomorrow morning or last week's morning, some week morning last week, and you read there and it convicts you, it gets all over you. But as the Word of God says, if you look at it and you see your face, but then you go away and you haven't changed anything, then it does very little good to you. The Bible says it is a mirror and it shows you what you ought to do, but it's understood that when you see what you're supposed to do, that you have a responsibility to change what God declared. And that's what happened with these folks. They said, wait a minute, we haven't been living in those booths like we were supposed to. They weren't being put up as a ritual, as a look back to what God had done. And so these people were not only convicted, but they allowed that conviction to turn into obedience. I don't have to ask if you've been convicted before. I believe everybody has. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God shows you lots of things, and oftentimes from His Word. But the question is, how did we behave in regards to that conviction? We've all seen some disobedient children, right? I read about one dad that said, oh, Father's Day, it's the day in my family when everybody obeys what I say. When I tell them don't spend very much for me for a gift, they all listen. We know what it's like to be obedient. We know what it's like to be disobedient. But my friend, we ought to be those people who, when the Word of God tells us something, that we obey. Not only do we allow it to move us to the inside, that moving from the inside ought to get moved to the outside. And when that moving on the inside happens, when God convicts us, then it ought to translate into obedience. I'm told that as they train some fine horses, Arabian horses, they train them in certain camps to fully obey. And one tactic that some horse trainers use is they deprive these horses of water for a certain amount of time, and then they let it loose near water. And as the horse goes to try to quench his thirst, then the trainer would blow a whistle that they've been trained to come to the master. And as the master trainer sees that horse turn away from his desired object, and he comes back to the master, then the master gives him at that point all the water that he would need, he or the horse would need. The trainer knows what the horse needs and won't allow that horse to die of thirst, but what that trainer wants is that horse to be obedient. My friend, we're not horses. And our God is certainly not condescending, not coming down to the level of just a human trainer. But your God and my God, He knows what we need. And He desires obedience in us as well. And when we obey Him, will lead us to that sweet, sweet water after obedience comes. So this word tells of salvation. This word is our food, the Bible says. It's our comfort. It's our guide. It convicts us. It leads us. But I give you the title as I, at the end instead of the beginning. I would entitle this message, The Word Works. The Word of God works. We had a group of people who wanted to listen to the Word of God. They begged Ezra to read it to us. And they stood there from morning till midday listening to the law, the Word of God. And then after they heard it, they were convicted. And they found that there were things that they weren't doing that they should be doing. But not only were they convicted, because I find it's easy to feel bad about something, but then they were also obedient to what it said. And my friend, I'm begging you and I to get a hunger once again for the Word of God. Let it work down deep in us. And then when it works in, may it also work out. Work out your own salvation, the Bible talks about. But when it works down in us, may it also work out. And may see people see the difference. Let me give you these three things as you talk about the Word of God. Could you do this? If you're taking notes, let me tell you how to read the Bible. Read it prayerfully. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, "Open thou mine eyes." Read it prayerfully. Oh, I've read the Word of God before when I was trying to get my Bible reading schedule, because I try to read it through a certain amount of times every so often, and I've read it like this. But I ask you to read the Word of God prayerfully. Lord, show me what you want me to have. Not only that, number two, read it regularly. Job chapter 23, verse 12 says, "I've esteemed thy words more than my necessary food." Read it regularly. We ought not to, a big term now is binge watching. You know, you get all the episodes of some TV show. I mean, not their bad ones. You could binge watch the Andy Griffith Show. Just watch 14 episodes in a row, binge watching. Sometimes we're that way with our binge Bible. We're gonna read a bunch right now. I'm asking you to read it regularly, all again and again and again. And then number three, read it obediently. Exodus chapter 23, verse 3 says this: "All the words which the Lord hath said will we do." When Moses comes back down off the mountain, he said, "Yep, we got it. Whatever God told you, you tell us, we'll do it." Well, we don't need, we got a direct copy right here. Read it prayerfully. Read it regularly. Let it be a constant part of your life. And then read it obediently. I told you our title, "The Word Works." The Word of God will work in our lives, in your life. It's quick, it's powerful, as I said, sharper than a two-edged sword. And my friend, I beg you, as a child of God, to let the Bible be your guide. A church I know fairly well had for years the slogan, the saying, the byword, whatever their theme was: "People of the Book." And they desired to be a people that were people of that book. You say, "Well, I'm a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church." I'm so grateful. Really, honestly, I am. "Well, I've been a member for," and I'm grateful for that. "Well, I've got a great heritage. Before I came here, I was a member of another well-known church," and I am grateful for all that as well. Really, I am. I'm not belittling that a bit. I've been in some great churches. But what's better than you being a member of Buffalo Ridge, me being a member of Franklin Road, and then Grace Baptist, and now Buffalo Ridge, is that I'm a person, a Christian of this book. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist pastor. But you know what's even more defining about me is I'm a Bible believer. And I not only want to believe it, I want to read it and heed it, and let it get into me, and then let it get out of me as I live my life. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, as we've looked at the Word of God, your Word, dear Lord, I pray that, dear Lord, you'd let your Word get into us. And I pray if there's somebody, Lord, that's been negligent in the Word, Lord, if there's somebody that's been haphazard in their reading, Lord, I'm not so concerned, and I don't think that it's as important how much as in the volume of chapters. But Lord, I believe that whatever our level is, that we ought to get in the Word of God on a regular basis. And I pray if there's one or several that have not been as consistent, they've not been as obedient, they've not been as desirous, that today they would make some holy vows to you, that they would get in the book and they'd allow the book to get into them. Now, folks, you've heard my prayer, and I've tried to be extremely blunt. We ought to be people of this book. And if you're not, you're not as consistent as you should be, and I don't have to tell you this, I didn't have to give you this message to convince you of that today. You already knew that. Then I challenge you to make some holy vows to God. God, I'm going to get in your Word. I'm going to let your Word get into me. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not sure you're saved. I didn't preach to that end, but can I tell you, I preached about this book, and the most important message of this book is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and for mine. You say, what's sin? Sin is anything that we do that's wrong. So Jesus died on the cross to pay for your wrongdoing. He wants to be your Savior, wants to take you to heaven. That's what this book says. If you're not saved, I challenge you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. We'd love to help you with that. Would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If God's speaking to your heart, maybe it's about the Word of God. Maybe you haven't been reading as much as you should. You say, preacher, it's just been so busy. Oh, I know. There's so much going on in my life. I sympathize. But we've got to find a way to get in that book and let that book get into us. We've got so many ways to do it. It's a written copy. It's on your iPad, maybe on your phone. You've got digital versions here, there, and yon. You've got audio Bibles. You can listen to it on your way down the road if you want to. But we ought to let the Word of God get into us. And then let it live its way out of us as well. Let's be people of the book, shall we? You're here today and there's something heavy on your heart. This altar is open for you. You're welcome to come. If you need somebody to pray with you, we'd be glad to provide that. Brother Daniel's right here in front of the pulpit. But maybe you just need to come pray for yourself. Then the altar's open for you as well. Maybe you're here, you're not sure you're saved, as I mentioned. Would you step out? We'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that heaven's your home. As they play one more verse, this one's for you. If God's speaking to your heart, whether you come or whether you don't, I hope you've seen the importance this morning of letting the Bible get into you. I don't think I've taught you anything new, but I hope that I've rung the bell of a familiar subject, familiar to you, that is. But I hope that you're standing there saying, he's right. And if you are, wouldn't you make a vow to God, say, God, I'm going to get back in the book. This is Sunday. Tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, I'm going to try daily. I'm going to strive daily to get back into your word. Let it get into me. Father, thank you for this time to be in your house. What a joy it is to get to be around your word. What is a joy to be around your people. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us now. And I pray that we truly would be people of the book. Lord, that's our manual. That's our love. That's the words that you've given to us. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Now, in as we leave, of course, the ushers will have the buckets back there as we take our offering. But we will ask you, unless you're going to sit right in the exact same place, if you're going